Heather Andrews, international four-time best-selling author on Amazon and seven-time author, has gone from restructured to reinvented through the power of story. With her publishing company increasing with 95% business growth in 1 year, she has been nominated as Entrepreneur of the Year by Business from the Heart. She is on a mission to help others share their stories with the world, to help inspire and heal others. From her signature books on Amazon, top 10 bestseller, Obstacles Equal Opportunities, and number one bestseller, The Real Journey of the Empowered Mom Boss, Heather is poised for supernova and taking her company to the top. As she owns her own media production, Tenacious Living Station, she runs her own podcast, The Heather Andrews Show, and the network holds over 500 podcasts of her and others. Her radio show, Follow It Through to Your Stellar Life, has an international following. Heather's dynamic and inspiring manner, her voice for self-discovery, and fearless revitalization makes her a woman with a mission. Are you ready? Here's Heather.
Thank you for joining our show. Today, we are talking with the Carrie Frame, and we're going to talk about self-sabotage and all of the ripples that it can have in our lives. Welcome to the show, Carrie. I am so excited that you are here.
Thank you, Heather. I'm so excited to be here with you.
Absolutely. So tell us a little bit about how you landed up in this field, especially when you came from the career of firefighter.
Yes, from firefighter to life coach is quite a leap, isn't it? So I have quite a varied professional past. And when I was a firefighter, I was also working in engineering because the firefighting was, I was one of the volunteer part-time firefighters. So in my normal job, I wore a pager 24 hours a day, and I left my normal job to run to the fire hall whenever necessary. So I was feeling like I might want to get into that field full time. And then I started doing ride-alongs with the paramedics, and I realized that what I really, really felt called to do was not so much take care of the person's physical health, which is what you must do in an emergency, but to connect to them at a soul deep level, and to find out how they were doing at that level and what I could do to assist them. And that's something that's been with me my whole life, but I never really thought until then that I could actually do it as a career. So then I started studying psychology and quickly realized that life coaching was much more the path that was made for me, because I truly believe that what's most important for people is what's here in this moment, and working with what's here in this moment is where people feel the biggest changes for their lives. So that's when I started training as a life coach, and I got internationally certified, and I got trained as a nutrition coach as well, because it's been a really long journey for me to have a healthy relationship with food. So I wanted to help women and men with that as well.
Well, it goes back to so much of just that self relationship, right? It all starts with the relationship with self. And that's one of the journeys that I've been on, how I've gone from healthcare to publishing company. And that's one of the roads that I've traveled, is just relationship with self, because sometimes we forget ourself in our own life.
Isn't it amazing how we can do that, right? The most central thing to our entire existence, and we can be disconnected from it.
And so when you start to work with your clients and they come to you with nutrition or just, Carrie, can you help me? What is one of the first steps to bring them into that space of getting in touch with themselves?
Yeah, that's a great question. Almost always it's a question of being present. So in every coaching session, whether it's my first one with someone or my 100th one, we always start by getting present together. And I use a lot of body awareness, like connection to what you're actually feeling in your body at that moment, because I truly have seen that our bodies are our teachers. And when there's something showing up in your body, it's like, oh yeah, why? why have I got this tightness in my throat? You know, and really getting present to that can be so incredibly enlightening to what's really going on for the person in that moment. So that's where we start. And then there's always a sharing of story, because story is how we live, right? And how we create our lives. And then finding out what's really important about that story, and where there's room for deepening it, bringing more heart, more self-kindness, more self-love. And there's always room for more of that in people's lives.
And as you know, with publishing, we always talk about the power of story. And there's the two different types of stories. There's the type of story that can hold you back, and the type of story that can propel you forward. And one of the key things in that, and this is what I love so much about what you teach and everything that you just said, was when we're in that space of telling ourselves the story of that we might not be worthy of more, and that in that state of holding back, that brings us into that space of self-sabotage.
Yes, you're absolutely right. The research that I've done and the coaching that I've done has absolutely verified that the core of why self-sabotage happens is because there is a story within, or an inner critical voice, or it can go very, very deep, that's basically saying, you go ahead and try to reach that height, to achieve that goal, to find that love. You go ahead and try, but you're not going to get it. And if you do get it, you're not going to keep it. And that voice inside that says you don't deserve whatever you're striving for encourages you to act in a way that undoes all of your own hard work. And that's the definition of self-sabotage.
I remember in a coaching course that I did, and as they were talking about transformation, and they were taking us through like a 12-week transformation course, and they always said that for the first 4 weeks, everybody's all in, and they do everything right, because they're committed. And then right around that fourth or fifth week, that was always the part where people started to kind of deeter off the course, because they felt that's when the self-sabotage hit. So in your studies, why is that? Right around that fourth, fifth week in a change or a habit change, what sets in at that point?
What I think is, especially in something where it's like a transformational life coaching course, where things are no doubt going really deep, right? And there's the support of the other people in there to bolster you, and there's the excitement of the beginning. And in any learning journey, there comes a point where you begin to know how much you don't know. And in that space is where the inner critic can dive in and is ready to say, I told you you weren't going to succeed at this. And all of those inner limiting beliefs can start to get much louder and much more convincing. And then if there's anything in that person that says, not only are you going to fail at this, even if you got it, you wouldn't have deserved it. And that would start to rise up. And so then the person would begin to work a little less hard, apply themselves a little less, and then it becomes a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? And so that's where the self-sabotage can start to sink in, and you need the self-awareness to be like, oh, why? Yeah, why didn't I study for that? Huh? That's right, because I was listening to all these voices within myself, or these feelings that say, you've always failed before, so of course you're going to fail again. And so then I just didn't study. And then apply self-kindness and self-knowledge that goes deeper, that, you know, that comes from a place that's deep enough to know who you truly are and what you truly deserve. And then acting on that instead of all of the limiting and critical voices. And I think it's wonderful that you're in a course that's 12 weeks long, because so often people will reach that first peak of knowledge or of goal achievement or something, and they'll think that that's the end. When in fact, that's when the challenges really start, right? Because that's when your inner critics and your inner fears really start to rise up and try to bring you back down. And that's when you get, you really start to build on your strengths and make them lasting rather than just temporary.
I know for even myself, as I've gone through many, many, many different self-transformation courses and, you know, just getting rid of all of the stuff that has been, you know, that I've carried with me for my time on earth here so far. And the one thing that I have learned is that even though you might do one 12-week course, it really just opens up like a whole other layer of the human.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes. It's never over, is it?
No, it's never over. And it's always a very self-enlightening.
Yes.
Self-enlightening is kind of the key thing. And when you talk about the self-awareness, it's amazing to me because it's, I think one of the key things that I learned in one of the courses that I did was just stop, look, and choose. And the conversation that partook by the gentleman that was teaching it said that there was one day, there was a group of them standing at the bus station or at the bus stop. And at the bus stop, every day they would always look to the left and go, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, Mr. Bus, come, you know, you're late again. And one day, and everybody was all stressed and everything like that. And then one of the day, and then the same, the next day, the girl was like looking left and hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, Mr. Bus, and come. But then she decided to look right. And in the right, on the right side, there was a beautiful sunrise coming up. And so habitually, we always looked left because we're so, so busy doing our thing. And then, but sometimes we forget to look in a different direction and we might see something totally different that can totally change our perception.
Yes. Yeah, that's a wonderful story.
It is a wonderful story. And I thought that it was just such a powerful thing because it's like, okay, well, there's nothing I can do about the bus, but how I can change is becoming aware of that I'm getting stressed per se because of something that I can't control. But if I stop that behavior, I can look in a different direction and I can see what other things are available to me to make a conscious choice.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I have a similar or a kind of a story as well that I use sometimes when I'm talking in seminars about self-sabotage. May I share that with you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's I often ask people, you know, if I were to say to you right now, you are such a beautiful person, how do you receive that praise? And how you receive that praise can either feed your inner limiting beliefs, or it can sort of not go anywhere, or it can go right in to your deepest level and feed your soul. And how you receive it, the compliment never changes. But how you receive it can change your life. So if you're, for a lot of people, when they hear the words, you are such a beautiful person, they immediately hear that, they say, oh my God, this person does not know what they're talking about. And they throw it back at the person and tell them why they're wrong, right? Oh no, no, I'm not. Oh my God, I've got like pimples and I'm blah, blah, blah. And they take all of that beautiful goodness that the person was trying to give them and they throw it away from themselves, right? And then the other really common thing is when somebody gives a compliment like that, someone will go, oh gosh, oh, thanks. But really, they don't believe it, right? And so then they only let like a drop of that goodness flow into their heart. And so it doesn't really change anything for them. And then on the other side, someone who isn't going to let any limiting beliefs get between them and that goodness, hears that beautiful comment and feels it in their body and feels it warming their chest and filling them with love. And they say, wow, thank you for saying that. That is that is so nice to hear. And I really, really appreciate it. And that person who let it go in and feed them is forever changed in a good way, simply because they received something differently. And that's where, like your bus analogy, one little shift changes everything.
Absolutely. I love that. One of the other things that I also learned, and it made me shift it in a different perspective, is when somebody gives you a compliment, or even gives you a gift, or does something nice for you, or offers you help, the other thing is too open to be receiving it. Because if you don't, it kind of it shuts down the other person as well.
Yeah. And that's absolutely true. And if we turn this and talk about it from a place of self-sabotage, when we do something like we move towards one of our goals or dreams, that's like giving a gift to ourselves, right? And then when we then self-sabotage that work and we undermine the gift we just gave to ourselves, we're basically telling ourselves, don't bother, because I'm going to wreck it anyway. And so turning that around, and one of the things I talk with clients a lot about is celebrating, totally absorbing the celebration of each little achievement. And that will help propel you towards more and more achievement. So, you know, if your goal for the day was simply just to, finally call that old friend that you've been wanting to call. And after you do that goal for yourself, really sit with that and say, God, that was so great. I'm so glad I made the time. I'm really glad that I honored what was important to me. And really give yourself credit for that. Because then the next time you have something that's a goal or a wish fulfillment for yourself, you're so much more likely to do it because you've created a positive feedback loop around that behavior.
I think the thing that when I'm hearing you talk, it just takes me back to year after year for probably the last 5 years. It goes back to weight loss even. And it's always a very fun topic. and it's only been like, and you know, there's always sort of like that piece of, okay, well, I want to lose 30 pounds, but yet I'm not, but when I don't go to the gym, or when I, it's the first thing that gets plucked out of the schedule because I get busy. And then I wonder why by the end of the year, I'm still the same weight that I was. It's almost like a form of self-sabotage, because it's like, no, you need to go do something that you enjoy, and you need that time to unplug and just be in that space to go do what you need to go do to move that piece forward. And as soon as I kind of realized that that was a form of self-sabotage, and also finally finding something that's right for me to put in my body, that's actually getting my hormones and DNA and everything else on track, and also letting go of the other things that weren't serving me emotionally, I lost like 11.5 pounds just almost instantly.
It's really amazing. The pieces all come together, and the feedback loop of in the right direction just starts to happen.
What are the top three tips that you would talk to our listeners about so that they can start to think a little differently about self-sabotage as they listen to our podcast?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the first thing I would say is that self-sabotage, when people first start realizing that they do it, it can be just another reason to feel bad about themselves, because they can feel like, oh my God, I've been doing this to myself, you know, and then it can actually become a negative awareness, right? So my first suggestion is to, when you start to realize that there is some self-sabotaging behaviors, be kind to yourself. Bring kindness and love to yourself, just like you bring to everybody else in your life when they make mistakes. Bring that to yourself and say, wow, okay, yeah, I've been doing this. So let's turn this around, because it's just a mistake. It's just me not giving myself what I truly deserve. And I'm going to change that. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, whenever you can, look around you in your life for those people who know what you really deserve. You know, there are those people in your life, they know you so well. They're always there to say, of course you can do it. I know you can. Or, you're so amazing. You do all these things. You know, they're the person that's always saying that. And we're always like, oh, no, you're so wrong.
Right? Yeah.
So pay attention. Pay attention to where those people are in your life and make them more central. And every time you're with them and they're telling you, you're so amazing or whatever, practice. And it is a practice. It's like building a muscle. Practice letting it in, really letting it in, all the way in till you actually feel it in your body. And practice that as much as you can. That would be number two. And then let's see, number three is have patience. Because self-sabotage, once you start to be aware of it, you realize, oh my gosh, I've been doing this for a long time. And it has been, it's been with me at a deep level for probably a long time. So it's going to take, it's just like if you go to the gym and you're building a muscle, it's going to take a while to build the muscle of self-awareness, self-kindness, and acting from a place of self-belief rather than acting from a place of, I don't think I really deserve that. So be patient and get support, of course. Anytime you can get support, it's
absolutely
always a good
thing. I love that. And sometimes though, even though, and I know that when you talk about, you know, breathing that in and being open to receiving it, sometimes we talk about also self-sabotage and it's that, it's a sense of failure almost. So when we talk about asking for help and support, there's two folds to that. It's, you might ask for help and go, yeah, I need help with that. And then the person can say, oh, I can help you with that. And you're like, you know what? No, on second thought, I'm okay. But when in fact, and then you go, then you walk away and go, what did I just do?
This sounds like something you might be familiar with.
In the past, yes. However, of late, I'm getting very good at it.
Good.
It's all yours. Mm-hmm. You can have it. I don't want it.
Yes. 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 Because sometimes, as you say, if you've asked for help and been offered it and then turn it down, it's going to become, that door is going to close. And that helping person may not then be able to help you in the future. So yeah, being aware of, what kind of help are you really willing to receive at this time? What kind of help are you really ready to receive? And then ask for that rather than just throwing it out there and saying, yeah, help me with this, help me with that. Really, really think about it. And the beautiful thing about self-awareness is when you start to become aware of what truth feels like in your body. And when you're in front of someone and the thought occurs to you, is this a person that I can ask for help from? And when you feel in your body like, yes, then the path becomes clear of, then you know how to ask. Whereas if you're in front of a person that's saying, oh yeah, I can help you, I can help you. And your body's saying, no. Then it becomes a little more straightforward that, no, I'm not going to receive help from this person because I'm, you know, maybe I would only be receiving it to make them feel good or something like that, right?
You know, I think the biggest thing that I've believed that I've, or I've learned and believe is that, you know, really like once you get on this journey, it almost becomes like this evolution. And once you start to know that you can change the beliefs that we were raised with and really open up to, once you're open to receiving, you know, guidance and transformation and also too from different people, because sometimes is what happens in these journeys is that, you know, we might need, you know, a mentor or a coach or a teacher or a friend at one point in our life. And then as we move through it, we go into a deeper learning and then, you know, and then there's the next step and the next step. And it's just an ever evolving process. And I remember, and also too, when I remember my husband was in Afghanistan, the help that I needed at that point, I was in my 30s with three young kids. He went to Afghanistan. I was working. I had a business. And it was like, there's no way I'm going to ask for help because I'm going to look like a failure or a bad mom, or I'm going to pull all of my kids out of these activities because I am just tired and worn out. But yet I'm still not going to ask for help because I do it myself. And then when I started my company, it was like, I don't need help. I can do this. Well, no, I can't because I'm not meant to be everything to everybody. And when I learned, so even in two very different scenarios, the behavior was the same. And so once I realized who I could trust to ask for help and know that they wouldn't judge me, and I was open to receive it. But if I felt like somebody was going to stab me in the back on that piece, it totally changed that exchange. And so I think it's down to, you know, we live in a fearful society because judgment is so rampant. But yet I also found out that everybody was busy living their own life. And who was it that somebody was judging me? And really everybody in the distance actually thought I was doing an amazing job. So it's just your own perception too. And it kind of just blows my mind actually at how diverse that thought is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it sounds like somewhere along the line, your inner belief changed from, I only deserve to feel successful if I do it all by myself, to I deserve success even when I get help to get there.
And in today's world, like in my world today, where my publishing company sits, if I did not basically recognize that I could not do the job on my own, I would not have my company and its growth. And so for me to be able to, and somebody said, hey, I can help you. It's like, great, come, please. We need you. Because I've realized that everybody's got their zone of genius. And it, you know, and there's also that, you know, like it's no different than for my editing staff. I trust them to do their piece with my clients and the authors that are publishing with us. And I trust my podcast network staff to do their piece. And I trust, so that's why, you know, there's that camaraderie between I trust them, they trust me, and you go together. And I think that is the biggest piece of, if you trust where you're going in whatever avenue, weight loss, and you trust your mentor, your coach, your friend, whatever, your trainer, it helps you move through that space of less self-sabotage.
Totally. And at the core of all of those good decisions and trust choices is a strong level of self-trust. You trust yourself to make the right decisions and to find the right help and to make the right leaps of faith and so on, right?
That is powerful. That is so good. I love it. And so where can people find you, Carrie, as we wrap up our podcast today?
They can find me on my website at carrieframe.com and on Facebook and Instagram as Carrie_empoweredwellnesscoach.
Perfect. And is there anything that you would just like to tell our listeners before we sign off today?
Oh, I would say the thing that comes to mind is be kind to yourself, because your whole world will open up when you do.
Absolutely. I love it. Thank you so much for coming on today. And just thank you for being a part of my world, because I'm so grateful that you are my friend and my colleague and my collaborator and just all everything that you are to me, because you're just making such a difference in this world by shining your light a little bit brighter for everyone else and just holding space for everyone, because you're just that heart of gold that this world needs. So I just so much love you.
Thank you so much, Heather. I am taking that in at a very deep level. I'm so grateful to have you in my world as well.
Thank you. And I'm going to let that land too. To each and every single one of the listeners today, we are grateful for you. And I encourage you to let that land within you and breathe that in. Until we go out again to the next podcast, I am Heather Andrews, helping you reach your stellar life, which is one of serenity, transformation, energy, laughter, love, activity, and resiliency for the better relationship with yourself and others in this world. So till next time, go out and live your stellar life.